Lesen vor dem Gebet.
Let us read before we pray.
Wir lesen.
We read
Psalm 101.
Psalm 101.
Psalm
101. I will sing of mercy and justice. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. When wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that has an high look and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Let us stand up and pray. Faithful God, we thank you from the depths of our hearts for this hour of grace, and we are here again to praise your grace, to sing praises to your glorious name, to offer you honor and thanksgiving. Lord, we are your people, the sheep of your hand. You have made us to honor your name, and we are gathered here again tonight to have fellowship with you, O Lord. Give us grace, Lord, that we may offer you honor and praise in the right way, that we may sing of mercy and of justice, and play to you, our God, for you walk among the praise of your people. Lord, help us to take heed that we walk in a perfect way. Have mercy on us, O Lord, and look down tonight, and bless us from the riches of your grace. This is my fervent desire and my prayer. Lord, we do not know how to go on, but you are able to lead and guide your people, Lord, and therefore we look out for you tonight and give you alone the honor and praise and worship. Continue to come to your right in our midst this evening. Lord, you have done great things for us in the last days. You have spoken to us powerfully through your precious and holy word, and we thank you that you are also able to speak through your Spirit. All honor, all praise, all glory, and all worship be to your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. Don't be afraid that I will preach, but we are so grateful that we can come together to thank the Lord for what he has done for us. I believe someone said, to him that believes, God speaks, and he that obeys, through him God acts. And when we hear such words as they have been read to us, we ask ourselves whether we only believe and then hear the Lord speak, or whether we are prepared to obey, to do obediently what He has said, as Peter expressed it at that time, at thy word. He was obedient. He believed. Therefore the Lord spoke. He obeyed. Therefore he cast the net. These things just belong together, and we need to be told that. We have to take that very seriously. If we believe that we have arrived in the last days, and that the end should and will be like the beginning was, then we must now orientate ourselves at the end to what was at the beginning. For Jesus Christ is the first and the last. He must be with the last, as he was with the first, in order to be the same. And we believe that with all our heart. Now, obedience must be added so that God can act. We can go through the whole of Scripture. God spoke to Abraham and gave him the promise. He believed. But then God demanded something of Abraham. And Abraham did as the Lord commanded, and was even prepared to sacrifice his only son, the son of the promise. Here we see faith and obedience as a beautiful couple that fits well together. God has arranged it so that on the one hand we trust Him and believe what He has said, and so He speaks to us, and on the other hand we recognize that God has to use people, wants to use people who are at His disposal here on earth. We have all read it from Psalm 101. I will sing of mercy and justice. Unto Thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt Thou come unto me? That is the question. When will You come? When will You reveal Yourself? When will our eyes see what our hearts believe? Then we have heard the word, Ye shall be My witnesses. We have often emphasized that a witness must have seen and heard something. If he just says, I mean, or I think, we can stop right there. We must have been there when something happened. We must have witnessed, seen and heard. And then we can bear witness to what we have seen and what we have heard. This is also how John expressed it in his letter. What our ears have heard, and our eyes have seen, and our hands have handled of the word of life, this we preach unto you. It was not, it could be, or perhaps, it was certainty all along the line. They saw the Lord, His ministry, His suffering, His death. They saw Him after the resurrection. What more did they want? If they had not believed, who else would believe? If we have had the same experiences with God, then we too can believe from the heart. I don't think that's our problem. Our problem is the risk. But we have nothing to lose. God is true to His word. If He says to Peter, come to me, and there is no bridge, there is only water, then he has to make sure that Peter can walk on the water. Otherwise, he doesn't need to say to him, come to me. Then he can just say, stay where you are. But because the Lord had faith that this man would believe and come to him at the word of the Lord, he simply got out of the boat and walked. We all need to learn the same thing. We have also heard this. The Lord confirmed His word through mighty signs and wonders, not only giving the promise, but fulfilling it. And at that time, the disciples were surprised, probably the 70, when they said, Lord, in your name even the devils are subject to us. But the Lord said before that, I have given you power over all the power of Satan. Ye shall tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The disciples believed what the Lord said. They obeyed. They did what He said. Now, this is the point we all need to take to heart. You can believe what it says in Mark 16, what it says in Matthew 28, what it says in Luke 24, and what it says in John 20. You can believe all of that. But if you stop at faith, then it's faith without works. And then it's so dead, and then you can bury it. Yes. Then you can bury it. For James says quite clearly, faith without works is dead in itself. It has no life. It cannot walk. It cannot hear. It cannot speak. It must be carried like an idol. And we can all do without that. God has made us alive together with Christ, has pardoned us, has given us the promises of His word. Already in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 43, verse 10, the Lord spoke to the people of Israel and said, ye are my witnesses. This is the Lord saying, and you are my servant, whom I have chosen. Not just witnesses, but you are my servant. I have taken you into my service as my witnesses. You are at my disposal. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen. Let us take this to heart this evening. Being witnesses is the first point. Being servants is the second. To be available as witnesses so that the Lord can use us in His service and for His service, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. What a marvelous word. Ye are my witnesses. Ye are my servant. Ye have seen, ye have heard. Ye are at my disposal. When I want to speak, when I want to work, you are there. When I speak, you hear. When I command, you do. I count on you. You are my people. You have a task, and you must face up to this task. You must bear witness that I am the Lord God. You must testify that I have redeemed you. You are at my disposal. What a marvelous word. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant. Collectively, all together, the servant of the Lord, the church of the Lord, the body of the Lord, at his disposal, completely subordinate to the head. And then comes the wonderful word, or the statement, you are my servant, whom I have chosen. Election is already there. If God has chosen us and not just called us, then there is a meaning and purpose in this divine election, and we may make our calling and election sure. We shall know and believe and understand that He is God, and that we are His people, that He is the Lord and our Savior, besides whom there is no other. And he says here, I have declared and have saved. Already as a finished work, he sets the matter before us. And then in the New Testament, as we have already read, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Let us not only ask God to speak to us. This he has done. He did that in a mighty way. Let us allow him to give us obedience and the trust that he can use us. I think that's what I just read. God speaks to those who believe. Whoever obeys, God acts through them. And we want to be people to whom he speaks, but also people whom he can use, whom he can bless, whom he can send, whom he can take into his service. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This thought is also wonderful, not only as far as the world as such is concerned, that it goes to the ends of the earth, but to the end of time. Behold, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Not only to the end of the earth, both to the end of the earth the word goes forth, but he will be with us to the end of the world, to the end of time, until we are taken out of time into eternity. Here we have the marvelous word from Hebrews chapter 2, which probably belongs to this. There it says that the Lord was with his own and confirmed the word they brought. Hebrews chapter 2, from verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. By the way, it is clear from this verse that the letters to the Hebrews were written by someone who was neither an ear witness nor an eyewitness, because he emphasizes this here, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. We are grateful to God. Everything is always so clear, if only we allow the Holy Spirit to transfigure it for us. We were not eyewitnesses, We were not ear witnesses, but the word about the things that happened was reliably communicated to us by ear and eye witnesses. We believe it as if we had been there. I do. That is how I feel. I can believe it from the bottom of my heart. When I read the stories of the Lord, of the crucifixion, of the burial, of the resurrection, it's all so alive, so real. When the women come to the tomb and think, who will roll away the stone for us? And they come and the stone is gone and there's an earthquake and there's someone who says, why do you seek the living among the dead? This is also close to us, such a divine reality. Nobody needs to tell us twice what happened. We believe it because we are ordained to believe. Those who are not ordained to believe can be told 100 times. There can be 500 brothers at once. As Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 15, that 500 brothers saw the Lord at once after his resurrection. 5,000 could shake their heads and say, we don't believe that. They don't need to believe that. Faith is a mystery with believers, and God reveals himself to those who have faith in him. The unbelievers will die in their unbelief, but the believers will have life through faith. What a marvelous word. Faith has been put into our hearts by God, just like it was with Abraham. We cannot help but believe. But to this faith should now actually be added the second part, this trust in God and obedience to his word, to do what he has commanded us. If we wait to become worthy, then we will surely grow old like Methuselah and not dare to do so. But if we say that he has pardoned us and he has appointed us to place ourselves in his service, then we see ourselves as unworthy and yet as his instruments in his service. What a marvelous word. It began with the Lord and was then reliably confirmed by the witnesses. We believe everyone who has spoken here, but not what the devil said, or the unbelievers, or Caiaphas, and those friends there. We are not interested in what they said, but they had to say things. The devil has to say things sometimes, doesn't he? But we don't believe that. But what God said, what those who had something to say said, we believe them. But when false witnesses appear and say, we heard, and he blasphemed God, and he said this, we don't believe that. But everything that God has said, we believe with all our heart. Precisely because we are meant to believe, it was reliably confirmed unto us by them that heard him. And then there is the fact that God bears witness. And this is what we absolutely need. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders. On the one hand, the men of God, the people of God, the children of God, the messengers of God, they have borne witness, they have heard with their ears, they have seen with their eyes. They confirmed it to those who had not seen or heard it. But that was not enough. Then God also bore witness, as written here. God also, so to what they bore witness, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. And this is the point that we simply must emphasize. The hour of God's action has come, and we want to be at his disposal and are fully aware that we are not able to do anything at all. That is the best condition we can offer God, that we are not able to do anything, but that we are ready to believe and listen to what he has said, that we are willing to obey in order to do what he has commanded, that faith and obedience, command and fulfillment somehow go hand in hand, step by step. Somewhere Peter roughly said the same thing about the testimony that God has given. Yes, here. 1 Peter, 2 Peter, in chapter 1, it says about the eyewitnesses, verse 16, 2 Peter 1, verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." And we believe that. We believe that Peter, John, and James were there on the Mount of Transfiguration, that the bright cloud descended and overshadowed them, and that Moses and Elijah were also there and spoke with the Lord about what would be in Jerusalem. And then came the voice from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And Peter wanted to build three tabernacles. It was very beautiful. The glory of God was there. You should be allowed to stay there, but not build huts and settle down, but go on and proclaim what the Lord has done. That is why Peter could say in such a marvelous way, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." What a grace to be eye or ear witness when God does something. And I am not afraid to say that we are ear and eye witnesses of what God has promised for this time and of what God has already done in this time. And we will be eye and ear witnesses of what God is yet to do. It cannot be otherwise. Here we have the words of God's promise, and we believe them, and we will keep pace with this faith, and we'll move on to action. We'll see God act, and we'll know that we are included in this action of God. After all, we are not the ones doing it. We are just at God's disposal. He is the one who speaks. Who can move him to speak? Who can move him to act? He who has spoken to us will be the doer in us. He will act through us, and then Christ will be glorified. As he said, "Father, you in me, and I in them, that we may all be one. As you have sent me, even so I send them. And whoever receives the one I have sent receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." What a connection! God in Christ, Christ in the Church. The circle closes, and the work of God comes to completion by grace. And surely, he will do even greater things. Glory, honor, and worship to his holy name. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for the words of God that we have looked at this evening. O Lord, they mean so much to us. They speak to us, penetrate our souls, and evoke faith and trust. You speak to those who have seen your glory, heard your word, with whom you have made a covenant. You are my witnesses, and you are my servant. Hallelujah. Thank you, faithful God, that you have revealed yourself in the same way in the New Testament, that you have redeemed a church, people to whom you have revealed yourself, with whom you have spoken, whom you have been able to send as your ear and eye witnesses. And while they bore witness in word, you bore witness indeed to the word they brought by mighty signs and wonders. Faithful Lord, we were not there, but we believe it. We feel so caught up in the Spirit, as if we have seen it all and heard it all. Hallelujah! Oh, what a grace to witness, to have part in what you are doing. Faithful Lord, we weren't even there in June 33, when you came down in the light and people fainted when you said, as John was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you will be sent with a message to forerun the second coming of Christ. Lord, we were not there on the 7th of May 1946, nor were we there in January 1950, when the pillar of fire descended in Houston, Texas, in front of thousands of people, and was photographed by a newspaper critic. But Lord, we believed the testimony of your servant and the testimony of your people, and you have confirmed it by mighty signs and wonders. We would be fools if we did not believe. My God, may people call us fools. In the end, we will be the ones laughing. Hallelujah. Praise, honor and glory be to your name. Today we may be fools. On the day that you have made, we will enter as the wise to the joy of our Lord and celebrate the marriage supper with him. Lord, we thank you with all our hearts. Now we lay before you all who suffer, where tears flow, where there is pain. May you be near. Lord, we pray for all those who are suffering, for all those in our midst, and wherever else they may be. Savior, come in our midst, in invisible, tangible, audible way, among your people. May faith and obedience be joined together, that we go forward in faith and be at your disposal. I thank you for all my brothers and all my sisters. Savior, bless us together from the riches of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.